Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of John, chapter 4. John, chapter 4, we're going to read verses 31 through 35 together. We'll read this passage responsively. John, chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. John, chapter 4, verses 31 through 35. And again, let's read this passage responsively. In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore said the disciples to one to another, Hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And let's finish on verse 35 together. Ready? Say not ye, There are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. And let's pray. Father, thank you again for being our God. Lord, thank you that we don't bow down to a statue or to a grave or to some mortal man, but we have Jehovah God of heaven who created all things. And God, I pray that you just use today, would you teach us a truth from your word? Would you use the simple preaching from this sinful man to help your people in a very supernatural way today, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated. Here in John chapter 4, very interesting story. If you'll give me a few minutes hearing, I'll illustrate what is going on in John 34 or John 4, verse number 35. 3.5 to 5 million Jews had been on a 40-year journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. It was not supposed to take that long, only to take a few weeks, at most a couple months. But the Jews decided to disobey. They saw the giants of the land and complained about it. And they in their fear, would not conquer the land. And God said, all right, I'll wait 40 years. And the older generation won't make it. It'll be the young people that go in and take the land. They were wandering through this wilderness. And often when we say wilderness, we think of a tropical rainforest or something like that. It was not that. It is a very barren desert land. It is the Arabian Peninsula. It is Saudi Arabia. In that area, it's desert, it's rocky, it's hot, it's miserable, and it's desolate. Now, the people began to get weary. They even at times rebelled. And they were complainers. God provided food, God provided water, God provided cooling during the day and heat at night for them. But they still whined and complained. Man was in this group of millions of people traveling, and throughout the day got very hot and very tired and decided he couldn't go any farther and just sat down in a little cool spot on an old dead log. As he goes to place his hands down to secure himself as he goes down, a serpent uncoiled and bit him. It was there cooling himself, and he did not see it. This snake reaches out and touched someone. Amen. It delivered venom, and the hot venom began to pump through that man's body immediately. The faster his heart beat, the faster the poison would go through his veins. See, in a situation like that, the worst thing to do is panic. You got to calm yourself. What is he to do? Fear and panic begin to take hold. You say, why? Wouldn't you be panicked? Wouldn't you be fearful knowing that a poisonous snake had just bitten you? The thoughts began to race through his mind. What's my wife going to do? What will my children do? I won't be there to see their graduations. Won't be there to give them away in their wedding. Won't be there to see my grandchildren, maybe. What am I going to do? Have I done all I should? He gets a thought. He takes a piece of clothing and he ties off a tourniquet on his arm and reaches for his knife. Amen, Brother Gus. He reached for his Grace Baptist Church knife. Amen. And he decides that maybe he could stave off a little of it, maybe even help himself. And he goes to cut that and he's going to suck the poison out. Just as the knife begins to approach his skin, he hears somebody holler, "Stop! Lift up your eyes!" You see, another traveler had seen what had happened. He saw everything that took place. Why did he yell that, though? Why did he say, "Stop, lift up your eyes"? Because that second traveler knew what God had told Moses in Numbers chapter 21, verse number 9. Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if the serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He said, "Sir, don't hurt yourself. Just look up and find that brass serpent. Moses has it on a pole. Look, lift up your eyes and you'll live." Wow. Lift up your eyes. As the sweat began to pour off the man's head, he began to panic and look around, and all of a sudden, he saw it. His eyes caught a glimmer, and he turned toward that brass serpent, and immediately his brow was cooled. Immediately the venom stopped pumping throughout his body. I mean, immediately he was healed. You see, that hot venom had no power over God. Now listen to me very carefully. Death was imminent. This man was not about to die. He was dying. The poison was going to take hold of his body. But how could he begin to thank that second man for those four precious words? Lift up your eyes. Wow. Jesus tells us here in John chapter 4, verse number 35. He says, "Lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." You see, I want you to know something. Jesus, as the traveler who has gone before us, looks at you today and says, "Stop. Lift up your eyes. There are people perishing. Stop. Lift up your eyes. There are people hurting. Stop. Lift up your eyes. There are people poisoned by sin. Stop and lift up your eyes." There are four things that I want to bring out today. Number one, you need to lift up your eyes for the sake of eternity. Lift up your eyes for the sake of eternity. If you turned in your Bible, if you're open there, John chapter 3, just back a page, verse 14, I love this. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Folks, when Moses made that serpent on the pole, can I tell you something? That was a picture of Jesus Christ hanging on the cross for you and me. That was a picture of the serpent of sin that had bitten man, but Jesus was going to conquer it on the cross of Calvary. By the way, you go down the road today and see an ambulance pass you, or you go by a hospital, go by a medical facility, you'll still see that the medical symbol in America today is that serpent on a pole. We still use it today. It comes from Numbers 21. Even man, no, by the way, all healing comes from God, not from man. Now, I'm not one of these Ernest Angelies, you know, smack somebody in the head and you're healed in the name of Jesus and you flip and flop on the floor and everything comes out, amen? I don't believe in that mess. I just believe God does the healing, not man. But may I say this, We live in a world, by the way, we've always lived in a world where people are dying and going to hell. We need to get people to stop and look and lift up their eyes to see Jesus. They don't need to see how good you are. They need to see Jesus Christ. They don't need to see your good works. They need to see Jesus Christ. They don't need to see if you tithe. They need to see Jesus Christ. They don't need to see your good works. They don't need to see that you go to mass, mess, confession, and all the rest of that. They don't need your rituals. They don't need your prayer beads. They don't need your rosary. They need to stop and see Jesus Christ. They don't need your church membership. They need Jesus Christ. They don't need your baptism. They need Jesus Christ. They don't need the casualness of churches today. They don't need to see that the pastor will go to the bar and drink with you, because he won't. He's an independent, fundamental, hell-raising Baptist. Can I tell you something? We don't need some guy soft soaping it. We need to get people to lift up their eyes and see Jesus Christ. I am not the issue. Christ is. You see, there is only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now watch this. I don't care what you think your way is. You'll either do it God's way or you'll go to hell your way. I didn't say that. God did. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. By the way, I didn't say it. Jesus did. Guess what? You get to heaven God's way or you go to the other place. Can I tell you something? Every week of our life, we're supposed to go out and knock on doors and tell others how they can know for sure they're going to heaven. It's not joining a church. It's not getting baptized. It's not some ritual. It's not living a good life. None of us could live a good enough life to go to heaven. It is Jesus Christ and Him only. Huh. When you do it your way, it'll bring eternal death. It would have been foolish for that weary traveler to say, no, I won't look at that brass serpent. I'll do it my way. I'll try to do it my way. I'll be good enough and maybe the poison won't kill me. Oh, I'll just go and have somebody baptize me and maybe that'll take the poison out. Oh, I'll go join the church real quick and that'll take the poison out. Oh, I'll go and pay some money to El Papa and tell him all the bad things I've done and that he can absolve the poison in my life. No, it doesn't happen that way. Those who refused to look at that serpent on the pole died. Say, how could a loving God do that? God made the provision as a loving God so they didn't have to. It was their rebellion that did it, not God. Number two, we're to lift up our eyes to get the strength and help we need from God. I want you to use your Bible for just a moment, but Psalm 121, very familiar passage. I must say this. I was sitting beside my grandmother this week, and I said, Grandma, what's your favorite passage in the Bible? And she started quoting this very passage, Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Did you notice the first statement? I will lift up mine eyes. Folks, we're looking too much to other people for our help, and we're not lifting up our eyes to God. We're looking to too many gimmicks, gadgets, and gadgets, and not looking to God. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26, you don't need to turn there. Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Can I tell you something? When you are weak, he is strong. He is all strength. He is all power. He is all knowing. He is all things you are not. Guess what? Why do you keep trying to go to somebody that's just as weak as you are? People turn to booze. Lift up your eyes and see Jesus, not the bottle. People turn to drugs. Lift up your eyes and see Jesus, not some stupid drug. Oh, crack or heroin or whatever it is that you're on, or prescription drugs that you're addicted to. They might make you feel good for a while, but Jesus can take care of it forever. Amen. People turn to doctors. Lift up your eyes and see Jesus. I'm not against medical doctors, but some of you have more faith in a doctor than you do God. Doctors are needed. I understand that. Believe me. When you have a kidney stone, you'll believe in a doctor. Amen? All right, Brother Jimmy? Trust me. There are times they're necessary. But may I say this? Doctors are not God. Everybody doing okay? Some people turn to illicit relationships. Immorality. Can I tell you something? Lift up your eyes and see Jesus. You don't need another illicit relationship. You need Jesus Christ in your life. You don't need another boyfriend or another girlfriend. And by the way, men have girlfriends, ladies have boyfriends, all right? If that's mixed up, you got major troubles. Sodomy is sin. Say, I don't think you ought to say that. Okay, don't say it, but I'm going to. God did. He destroyed a whole city full of them. I don't care what anybody says, sodomy is wrong. Now listen to the statement. You don't go after somebody because they are a sodomite and hate anybody. You're supposed to get them saved. I don't hate the person. I hate the sin. By the way, I hate the liquor traffic. I hate the drug traffic just as much, just so you know. Boy, that's a good statement. Boy, this one's going to get me in trouble. Everybody, you ready? You don't need to turn to a psychologist. You need to turn to Jesus Christ. You don't need to look to a psychoanalyst. You need to look to Jesus. Folks, God was giving Baptist preachers more sense than a psychologist has ever had for the last 2,000 years. Trust me. You don't need a psychologist. You need the Word of God. You need good Bible, godly logic, sense, and wisdom, period. Psychology is man trying to look through man's eyes to see man's life. Wisdom is seeing life through God's eyes. Amen. I'd rather look through God's eyes than mine. Amen. I'd rather see it as God made it, not the way I've screwed it up. By the way, some of you turn to running away. You face a problem, you face a difficulty, you face the poison of life, and the first thing you want to do is run away. Can I tell you something? Lift up your eyes and see Jesus. Did you ever notice? I was somewhere this week and I watched a child. And they were far enough away I really couldn't hear, but I watched a kid fall and get hurt. Not tragically, just you could tell, okay, that one's going to feel good. And did you ever notice that a child, they do one of two things. They lay there and scream, or they get up and scream. There's no in between. Well, this is one of those ones that got up and just started running. They didn't know where they were running, but they were running. I thought, isn't that a picture of the way most of us are? We get hurt and we don't know what we're doing. We just scream and run. Wow. 99% of the frustration in life comes due to the lack of obedience to the Word of God in our life. Can I tell you something? Most every problem you face, you'll either find the answer to, or you'll find the strength and the courage to make it through by obedience to the Word of God. Did you catch that? You say, well, it's my health. We might not be able to change your health, but God can give you the strength you need to make it through your health crisis. It may be the death of a loved one. We can't bring them back, but God can give you the strength to get through the death of that loved one. See, so many times we want to run. We want to try to make it on our own. And God says, lift up your eyes and see Jesus Christ. That means you need to come hear the preaching of the Word of God, even when you don't feel like it. Now, if you have some communicable, if you're sticking your head in the bucket, and stay home for a while, amen. I don't need to stick my head in the bucket because you couldn't keep your virus to yourself. But just because you got a sniffle and just because you got a hangnail doesn't mean you stay home from church. Got a man that's had MS for, is it almost 14 years now, Brother Jerry? Right at 14 years, he's had multiple sclerosis sitting right down here on the second row. If he can make it, just because you got the sniffles, you can make it too. You need to be here. Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you read that book for yourself? I'm not asking you to read through it in a year, though I think at some point in time in your Christian life you should. But I don't think you're a dirty, filthy, wicked, rotten, unrighteous, unholy sinner if you didn't read through your Bible in a year. I do if you don't read it every day. Say why? Because you need that book every day of your life. I had a Bible college student one day asked me and said, "Brother Bush, if you had to choose between prayer and reading your Bible, and they were going to take one or the other away, and you had the choice of which to keep, what would it be?" I said, "Reading my Bible, I would keep. I would let them take away prayer." They said, "You're the first person to ever say that. Why? Don't you realize that prayer, you could ask God for whatever you wanted? You could have God help you." I said, "Yes, but those are my words to God. I'd rather have what he said, because what he said is more important than what I'm about to say." And by the way, that was years ago, and I still believe it. Amen. I still believe it. If I have to choose what I want or my words, I'll take God's words over my words any day. Boy, that's good stuff. You need to lift up your eyes, listening to the preaching. I think you ought to be at every church service you can. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Some of you can't go 3 hours without food. How can you go a whole week with only one spiritual meal? I don't mean to be unkind, but you're not growing and you're not healthy spiritually. Some of you need to get your counsel from the Word of God and from the man of God, and not somebody that doesn't know any more about it than you do. I hate to be unkind. I'm not lifting myself up. I will magnify mine office, but I'm not magnifying me. God gives to the man of God the answer to your questions. And if he doesn't, he'll give it to him. Amen. Promise you. Yes, sir. I promise you. I got to move on. First, we said we're to lift up our eyes and see eternity. Second, we're to lift up our eyes and get strength and help from God. And by the way, may I say this? All of us need strength. All of us need help. "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth." Wow. Say, do you get tired, preacher? I get weary. I hurt. Sat beside my grandmother this week and planned out what I didn't have already planned for her funeral. Tried to avoid the topic, but I got to do it. I'll be honest with you, that was hard on me emotionally. Then I had to sit there and let my daughter drive for 3.5 hours. That was hard. Not because she's a bad driver, though she did find out what 70 miles on the turnpike with construction means, amen? With an 18-wheeler on this side and a 6-foot-high jersey wall on that side right to the yellow line. She was looking at me going, I said, "You're okay. Hold on. But hold on." You guess what? We made it, amen? Now, my wife's hair is a little whiter today than it was Monday. Now, wait a minute. We all need strength. We all need encouraged. We all need help. Nobody is all strength all the time, but guess what? Sometimes we need to lift up our eyes to Jesus Christ. Walked into my office this morning. I was thinking about the burdens many of you are carrying. I fell on my knees in my office and I said, "God, I cannot help them all. You've got to do it. I can't meet all their needs." And I started naming certain people in this room and those of that you're associated with. And I said, "They've got burdens too big for me to carry, but you've got to meet all their needs all at one time. God, I can't do it. Would you do it through me?" I thought of Mrs. Brinklow. I thought of Jerry. Brett, I thought of your wife. God bless her. Great with child. Overripe with child. Amen? You know, God bless these folks. I thought of others in this room. I thought of Brother Taylor having some health issues. I thought of some of you that are going through the valley right now. I said, God, there's no way I could do it all. None. I was thinking of Mrs. Hawkins. She's got Brother Hawkins, amen. Brother Hawkins had a scare this week with his health, and my heart was just heavy. Can I tell you something? He said, just look, I'll take care of it. And on my knees in my office, I said, I'm lifting my eyes. Would you please bless that and help our people? Can I tell you something? I've hit this pulpit strong today, not weak. Oh, my physical strength may be a little less than I would like it to be from time to time, but when I keep looking to Jesus, it just pumps me back up. It pumps me back up. I have all the strength I need right now. Next. This is the one that'll hurt. We need to lift up our eyes and get our eyes off ourselves. We live in a selfish world. We are so selfish. All of us. Everybody's looking out for themselves. Me first, me first. What can I get out of this? Well, I'm not doing that if I don't get any profit out of it. Whatever happened to looking to the needs of others? You know, some of you would spank your children with an attitude that you have. Everybody look at me for just a second. I'm going to use something that we've all been through. If the way your children acted was acted out as you drive, well, it was my turn to go. Then you get mad and scream and holler and honk your horn at the guy that went through the stop sign a little sooner than you did. And you throw a big bad attitude. Can I tell you something? 5 seconds won't kill you. Let them go. And they can't hear what you're saying anyway. Only the people in the car do. But. Yeah, that's your pride and that's your selfishness. Let them go. There's a line at the restaurant where you'll go today and you'll break your neck to get through the door so that you don't have to stand behind one other person. What's wrong with holding the door and letting them go first? I'll be honest with you. Some of you would spank your kids for the attitude you have. Matter of fact, some of you do. You know, people need to grow. Do you know that immaturity is selfish? You go to the nursery today and watch one of the kids pick up a toy that the other one wants. Man, they'll tussle and argue and push and pull and Sound familiar? Sounds just like when you're driving, doesn't it? Sounds just like your house. You didn't get your way. You know, you don't have to teach a child to be selfish. They know it automatically. Boys and girls, look at preacher for a second here. When somebody has something you want, let them have it. And that doesn't mean, whack, here you go. But I'll promise you, they'll get tired of it faster than you will. And even if they don't, it's okay. God will bless you not being selfish. You know, we're supposed to, as you grow older, get out of our selfishness. Do you know, it's not natural to be unselfish. It's natural to be selfish. Immaturity or selfishness means this. You want given too. You don't want to give. Can I tell you something? I'm at a point in time in life where it sure is fun to give. Man, I'm having fun. I am having the time of my life. I was with one of our men recently, and we were talking. I said, I mean this. Every day of my life, I ask God to let me help somebody. I said, every time I pray that in my life, God brings somebody to me to help. Every time. You know, there are so many people out there, God's just waiting for somebody to ask so he can bring them by. Let me ask you a question. When's the last time you asked God to let you help somebody? I was getting a coffee the other day. I think it was, I don't know, all these days have run together, but I was at Dunkin' Donuts one day. There was nobody behind me. I went to the window, paid for mine. I handed the lady a $5 bill and a gospel tract. She looked at me. I said, the next person that comes through, pay for their bill and let them know Pastor Bush from Grace Baptist Church paid for it for them. There was nobody behind me. She said, what? She said, who's back there that you know? I said, nobody. I said, matter of fact, there's nobody behind me. I said, I don't care who's coming. She said, wow, that's not happened before. I said, well, every time I come, it'll happen. Say why? Because it was fun. Say, who'd you help? I don't know, but God does. God knows. Can I tell you something? That's a fun way to live. You know, mature people provide for others. My dad, I was in college, and I said, Dad, he said, how do you know when you're, this is a dumb question. He said, how do you know when you're old enough to get married? He said, don't do it, son. No. he said, don't do it, don't do it, no. He said, son, when you can provide for somebody else what's been given to you your whole life, you're about ready. He said, if you're waiting until it's all saved up, you'll never do it. He said, but if you're able to make and to provide for what others have given you your whole life, you're ready. Wow. We wouldn't have 30-year-olds that live at home with mommy and daddy if they get off their blessed assurance and go work. They're old enough to have babies, and they got them everywhere, but they're not old enough to get married. By the way, you shouldn't be having babies without getting married. You're just immature. You want something given to you you don't want to provide for. That's immaturity. Immorality is immaturity. Everybody doing okay? By the way, let me ask you a question. How are you spiritually? Are you spiritually immature? Well, I'm not going back to that church. It didn't meet all my needs. Well, I hate to tell you something. This church isn't supposed to meet all of your needs. God told you to do some things on your own. I'm going soul winning whether you do or not. Don't you get mad at me because we're bringing new folks to church and well, we're going to bring people to church. And did you see what they did to the carpet? Yeah, I did. And I don't care. Carpet can be replaced. What's the price of somebody's soul? Amen. Oh, listen to me very carefully. I can tithe. And God will bless me and God will bless our church from my tithing. But let me ask you a question. How's it going in your life? There are certain things you're supposed to do, not just get. You know, you're supposed to be at Sunday school so that you can get the teaching of the Word of God. Well, I just don't like so-and-so. Nobody said go to Sunday school because you like so-and-so. He said be there. And by the way, why don't you just start helping others? Learn to help other people. Can I tell you something? Once I grew up and started helping people, it sure was a whole lot of fun. Man, it's fun. I've been around selfish people. They're miserable. I mean, they're outright miserable. I preach in a lot of nursing homes and have. Of course, my grandmother's been in an assisted care living place. You know, the older you get, the easier it is to get selfish. I don't mean to be unkind, but it's something you got to fight a little bit. I'll never forget, my wife will know this name, Mrs. Hand. Miss Hand was the crankiest old coot you ever met in your life. She was in a nursing home in South Carolina, and I mean, she was as mean as a rattlesnake with crossed eyes. With a bad attitude on top of it all. I mean, the first time I met Miss Hand, the guy with me, Brother Dave, he was about the size of Brother Jimmy. He said, "Brother Bush, see that lady down there in that wheelchair?" I said, "Yeah." He said, go get her and push her to the service." I couldn't figure out why all the nurses were gathered around him and they're all like this. I went down. He said, "Her name's Miss Hand." I said, "All right." I said, "Miss Hand, how are you?" "Who are you?" I mean, just, I said, "I'm Brother Bush from the church. I don't want nothing to do with you." I said, "Oh, well, we're going to go to the service today." "I'm not going with you." I said, "Oh, come on, sweetie." I grabbed the back of her wheelchair, and she had a glass of water in her hand, and she went and threw it right in my face. I look down. Dave Hayward is laying on the ground going, "Ah." All the nurses are over there going. I thought, okay, that was a setup. I thought, this crabby old coot ain't going to get the best of me. Now, she didn't go that day. I thought, I'm going to win this lady. The next time I went back, she was just as mean, just as rotten and stinkier than before. I tried for weeks and weeks. I'm talking months. I said, I got it. I took my two-year-old and my brand new baby with my wife. I said, I'm gonna crack through this crabby old woman. I said, "Hun, bring the kids. We're going." I only had two at that time. Jeff was just a little baby. I said, "Ain't no old lady in the world going to be mean to a baby." Mrs. Hand was. "Get that thing out of here." I'm not kidding. I mean, it was that bad. When she did that, I went off. I was in the flesh, not the spirit. Amen. I said, "You cranky old lady." She looked at me. I said, "You shut up and listen to me." And I tore into her for about 10 minutes. I preached at her. The next time I went back, I said, "Mrs. Hand, what?" She wasn't quite as cranky as she was before. Eventually, I got to her room. There were some pictures on the wall. I said, "Are those your kids?" "Yes." I said, "Do they live in the area?" "They don't come see me." I knew what the problem was. I said, "Miss Hand, they might not come see you, but I've been here every week for months. Why are you mad at me for what they did?" You know, eventually that old lady got saved. It took a long time. She was one cranky old coot. I am not lying. From here to the nursery away from her was the most godly, Holy Spirit-filled woman you've ever seen in your life. I mean, it was like Dr. Jekyll and Mrs. Hyde over here, you know. You go in to see the other lady and she's, "Oh," and she prayed for me. Oh, my soul, what a lady. Now, wait a minute. One was bitter. Nobody could do enough for her. The other, shoot. She'd give you everything she had and then some. Do you know the older you get, the easier it is to get selfish? It really is. I'm not that old. It's easy to get selfish. It's easy to get selfish with my time. It's easy to get selfish with the things I have. I've got to fight it and give to others. Boy, that's a good statement. You know, some of you need to start giving spiritually. Can I tell you something? That's one reason God tells us to go soul winning. You won't be selfish if you go soul winning. These deeper lifers, "Oh, we're not going to go soul winning. We're gonna go deep in the Word of God." Gag. Go down deep, come up dry. They're not deep in the Word of God. They're lazy in the Word of God. They're not taking the Word of God house to house, door to door, doing what God said. They're not a place where people are welcome as they are. You've got to come and go through our classes before you're part of us. Gag. Jump on in. The water's fine, folk. Just jump on in. The water's fine. Well, I'm a sinner. Join the crew. So is every other human being on the face of the earth. Well, I don't have the greatest of past. If you knew what I know about the people in this room, you'd feel right at home. It's okay. You know, it's time we start looking for the needs of others and quit worrying about our own needs so much. You know, I find the more that I help other people, the more God shows me what the answer to my needs are. It's true. I'll put my burden aside and help carry a load, and I'll go back and somebody else needs help, and I'll help him, and I'll help him, and I'll help him. And boy, by the end of the day, I'll go back to pick up my load and say, boy, that thing, it doesn't seem as heavy as it did before. Matter of fact, I think I got the answer to my own problem. How'd you get it? By helping somebody else. By helping somebody else. Some of you are groveling in your own problems, and all you need to do is lift up your eyes, get your eyes off yourself, go help somebody else, and I promise you, the burdens will roll away. Some of you are grieving over the death or the loss of a loved one, and you've not helped one person since. Why don't you go find somebody else that is hurting and go help them? You might find the answer to your own grief. Some of you have been given bad news. Why don't you help somebody else that's been given bad news? I don't know any worse news in the world than that they're dying and going to hell. Why don't you take the gospel to somebody, get them saved, and watch what God can do? Boy, that's good stuff. Just as that snake bit the weary traveler, the deadly venom of that old serpent, the devil, has gotten into your life. Sin. We have that deadly venom coursing through our veins, causing us to head straight for hell. May I say this? Lift up your eyes and see Jesus. Lift up your eyes and see Jesus. Those of you that are saved. By the way, it didn't say just the lost people were bitten and died. All people that were bitten would die. By the way, Christian, you're a sinner just like the lost person's a sinner. The only difference is yours is saved and cared for. Theirs isn't. But you're still a sinner. We're so selfish. We look at ourselves way too much. We look at all we have way too much. We count our money, look at our bank accounts, look at our cars. By the way, not anything wrong with any of that unless you're not helping somebody with it. I'm not saying you got to give everything you have away. That's stupid. God gave it to you to survive with, but why don't you use a little of it to help somebody else along the way? Let's not just look. I want you to notice what Jesus said. He said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. He said, look and then go harvest. Look and do. Look and live. The song, look and live, my brother, live. Look and live. You didn't get healed from that serpent just so you could look at it again. You got healed so you could go out and live your life and tell others what God did for you. Isn't that what it's all about? Look and live. Let me ask you a question. Are you tired of looking in the mirror? Tired of seeing just yourself? Tired of just seeing your needs? Why don't you look and help somebody else? Some of you are miserable Christians because all you see is you. When you start seeing others, it sure is a fun way to live. I promise you. You say, well, I'm tired. So am I. Well, I have needs. So do I. Well, I've got burdens. So do I. You say, well, how can you be so happy? Because I'm helping everybody else I can along the way. And as I help them, I'm gaining strength to carry my load. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made the heaven and the earth. Guess what? When I'm helping somebody else carry their load, I'm getting the strength to carry my own. Well, I just don't feel like I can make it any farther. Good night, Brother Jerry came. He barely could make it to church this morning, made it to church, taught a Sunday school class, helping all those couples in his class. Can I tell you why? It's giving him the strength to make it next week. Yes, sir. Him giving you strength helping you carry your load gives him strength to make it another week. Good night. That's the Bible in action right there. Why don't we just lift up our eyes, get our eyes off ourselves, see people that are dying and going to hell, see people who have needs, start looking for others that need help, and let's help them. Because that's what it's all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say today, preacher, if I die today, I know 100% sure I'm going to heaven. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Would you raise your hand? God bless you. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Brother Bush, and I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. I'll not call your name. I'll not come to you. But who would say, preacher, if I die today, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. But I'd like to know. Would you raise your hand? All right. Someone else? Parents, you be wise with your young ones. Who'd say, Brother Bush, part of that sermon today smacked me right between the eyes. There's a part of that sermon that I personally needed today. Would you lift your hands? Oh, my soul, scores and scores and scores and scores and scores of hands. In a moment, we'll stand. The piano will begin to play. And at that time, if you need to use this altar, you come. If you've been saved and never followed the Lord in believer's baptism, you can today. Baptism won't save you. It won't take you to heaven. It just lets others know that you've been saved. Maybe you just need to come use this old-fashioned altar and lift up your eyes to God and let him work through you.